Bonnie Buckingham, better known as Bonnie Guitar, had her first big hit in 1957. The next year, she founded a record label in Seattle. That was something really unusual for a woman here in the 50s. She went on to produce bands that became Northwest music legends. She kept on making her own music and flirting with more fame over the decades, but just as impressive as her musical output and her innovations on the business side is the fact that Bonnie Guitar is still playing. She's 93 years old, and she still does a weekly gig at a club in Soap Lake, Washington, where she lives.
Hello.
Come in.
Hi.
Bonnie Guitar may not get around as easily as she once did, but her eyes are bright, her singing voice is intact, and her passion for music and innovation still bubbled just under the surface.
Could you tell me about when you first picked up the guitar?
I was about 12 years old, but my brothers, I had older brothers, and they both played guitar, so I could not play it. Finally, they allowed me to tune it, and once I could tune it better than they could, nobody got it away from me.
Was there a time when you were a child when you first knew that you weren't just good at playing guitar, but that this could be your life?
I knew that when I was about 12 or maybe less than 12. I lived on a farm. We had a lot of trees, and I used to climb trees and pretend I was broadcasting. And I had my eye on the business from the time I was old enough to think about it. At school, they wouldn't let me play guitar because they said it was a hillbilly instrument, and it was absolutely ignored. They didn't consider it to be an instrument that should be played in a band.
Away up high up in the sky, oh tell me why, oh tell me why you've lost your splendor.
So not having a lot of female role models, how did it even occur to you that this was something that you could do?
You know, I think I never thought of it. I just assumed that I knew how to do it, and I was learning more all the time, so I didn't question it.
Did you have to prove yourself to a lot of people?
Oh, my. Many. Every day, really. I remember the time a lady came to my place and asked me to do some demo records for her. And I said to her, "Who's going to hear this?" And she said, "Well, I have a record label in Malibu, California, and they're waiting to hear my songs." Well, that was opening a door for me. So I did all the songs that she gave me. She sent them to Hollywood, and when he heard them, and he asked me to come to Malibu and audition for his studio. So my mom and I went down to Malibu, and I played guitar and sang for him. He immediately signed me with a record contract and made me a studio musician.
That was an important period for you, right, being a studio musician, because you got you an inside glimpse of what the studio system was like.
Oh, that was those were such good times, those years that I played in the studio. I got to be exposed to the kind of music I wanted to hear.
I'm living in two.
How did you get the idea to start your own music label, your own studio?
I was associated with a fellow named Bob Reisdorf at the time, and he was a record promoter. We used to talk this business all the time, talk the business, and he was in Olympia, and he talked with the Fleetwoods, and they said, "Do you know Bonnie Guitar?" And he said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, will you give her this tape so that she can listen to us?" And I immediately knew that those kids could have a hit record. That turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me.
So how did you even go about setting up Dolphin Records? I guess it was Dolphin Records first, right? And you and Bob Reinsdorf launched that label together in Seattle.
I had spent so much time in Hollywood with Faber Robinson in his label at Malibu. I had been learning then because he was teaching me when he had artists come in the studio, instead of me playing guitar, he had me as his assistant. So while I'm in there being assistant, I'm learning everything I'm supposed to do. I'm learning the equipment. I realized that I could do that.
So I'd like to ask you about another band that you brought in. After the Fleetwoods and their big success, you discovered another band, an instrumental band out of Tacoma, The Ventures, who are still one of the most famous bands in the Northwest.
They are. They came to our label, and that was something that was wonderful for us to follow up the Fleetwoods with someone like The Ventures, you know.
What do you like about recognizing talent, about finding undiscovered talent?
That's the most fun of all. Right now I'm working with a young fellow here in the Soap Lake area, lives two blocks down. Magnificent talent that you never hear. He writes his own material, he's a singer. When I hear that, it's like eating a good steak. I can't wait till I can get my hands on somebody to work with like that, you know? How could you not want to do something for that artist?
So I know you said you savor the quiet life that you have now and that you don't really need the glitz anymore. But as you kind of think back on the days of your fame, I mean, you tasted some real fame on national TV and on the Opry and on all these different places. What's a memory that you have that makes you smile?
All of those things were great. I did the Sullivan Show and the Dick Clark Show, and all those shows were great. I want to tell you this without reservation. This is the truth, if I've ever spoken it. I had some negative things, too, of course, but I had the most wonderful life in this business anyone could ever have, and that, if I think about that, that's a smiling thing. And now, the way life is now is wonderful, too, because although I'm not getting around very well, I still get to play on Saturday nights. And when you think about it, it can't be anything but a smile, I guess.
When you look at something like hearing tape of yourself from 50 years ago and stuff like that, do you still feel like the same person? Do you still feel connected to the young Bonnie Guitar who was out there making hits?
I do in a way. I wish that I were more connected with the voice I had then. Because as years go by, you lose your voice. So I tell you the truth, I get a little bit upset when I hear how I did them in those days, and I can't do them that way in those days because my range is too limited now. Pack up all my cares and woes. Here I go, singing low. Bye, bye, Blackbird.
How have you managed to keep the dexterity in your fingers and your hands to play?
Well, I did, but just recently, somehow, I just woke up one morning and my hand was swollen. Well, I haven't been able to play the guitar since that. So now in the band, I just sing, and I can't play the things like Mr. Fire Eyes and Riders in the Sky and those up-tempo things, so I'm being limited right now, and I probably have another 2 months before I'll be able to play at all.
Have you gone this long without playing guitar before?
Never, never, never. I couldn't. I have a guitar right by my side all the time right now, and I've had a guitar with me when I was in a hospital once. You get as close to that guitar as you do a person, almost. What we feel as musicians, that our instruments have soul, that they have a life of their own. And believe me, guitars are more so than anyone. And if I couldn't play it, I'd take it with me anyway.
Are you sad about not being able to play right now?
I am. I have that. I'd like to tell you no, but I tell you the truth. I hear things and I want to play that. And I want to play that so badly. And that makes me sad. However, I feel very happy about the fact that I have a future where I can look ahead and think that maybe in a couple of months or 3 months I'll be able to play.
Well, Bonnie Guitar, a resident of Soap Lake and longtime pioneer in music and production, business, and pretty much the whole spectrum, thank you so much for talking with me.
Gabriel, it's been wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much.